ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Hare Krishna. So we welcome all the devotees for the second session on the series on advent of Lord Krishna. So we would go through the overview at the very beginning of this first chapter, second chapter, prayers by the demigods to Krishna in the womb. Third chapter describes the birth of Lord Krishna, and chapter 4 describes the atrocities. Go ahead. And then we have described last time how the first chapter begins with Mother Earth approaching Krishna. So it was in response to a crisis that this whole episode of Krishna's descent began. And in response to that, we have the chapter on the prayers by demigods. Before Krishna has advented, he has appeared. So it is similar to a devotee's praying for the Lord to manifest. And then Krishna appears. And then as soon as Krishna appears, there are so many problems, so many attacks from Kamsa. And the Brajavasis are thrown into a whirlpool of various kinds of crises. So the point we were making was, one does not take to Krishna consciousness with a feeling that I will become free from misery. And as Srila Prabhupada said, the problem with you is you are expecting a calm sea in the material world. Bhavasagar is always tempestuous. And only in Golok, in spiritual world, in Goloka Vrindavan, one will experience complete, uninterrupted, unceasing joy. So therefore, even in Bhauma Vrindavan, even when Krishna manifests his Vrindavan in the material world, he creates a situation by which the Brajavasis are thrown into various kinds of anxieties. There are attacks by demons and so many other naimittic leelas, which occasional pastimes which do not exist in Goloka Vrindavan. So therefore, as one devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, that there is description in the first canto that there are prostitutes in Dwarka. So the devotee asked Srila Prabhupada that how is it possible that there can be prostitutes in Dwarka, because Dwarka is supposed to be completely spiritual. And Prabhupada said, to keep pace with the material world, Krishna, he sometimes manifests certain special attributes in the spiritual pastimes here in the material world, which are particular only to the material world. Right? So this is the total summary of the whole chapter of how this whole chapter is divided. So we have discussed till verse 16 about Shukadeva Goswami glorifying Maharaj Parikshit. Then we have the pastime on Mother Earth approaching Brahmaji. Lord Vishnu is assuring. And then Vasudev marries Devaki. And then how Vasudev is trying to save Devaki. And that is a very important section between verse 37 to 53. And then Vasudev, he pacifies Kamsa again, and then he acts as a perfect gentleman, keeps his word, and at that time Narad Muni enters, and Kamsa begins his atrocities towards Devaki by killing these 6 children. So through these, what are the different, how to deal with hostile non-devotees, and how to save our Krishna consciousness that is being demonstrated in the dealings of Vasudev with Devaki. Vasudev with Kamsa while trying to save Devaki. So now let's start from verse 17 onwards. So Mother Earth is approaching Lord Brahma in a state of great distress. The state is that the whole world is overrun by various kinds of miserable conditions. And in such a state, she takes the form of a cow and approaches Brahma. So Brahma in turn takes Mother Earth and approaches Lord Shiva, Lord Indra, other demigods, and all of them approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, who is situated on the ocean of milk. So, as far as this Brahmaji is concerned, according to Chakravarti Pad, this Brahmaji is not the Brahmaji who is there on the Satyaloka planet, and is slightly different from that Brahmaji. And he is referring to a Brahmaji which is there on Mount Meru. And he gives the proof and evidence, and actually I had never thought about it this way, that all of you know that King Revata, he had a daughter whose name was Revati. And Maharaj Revat wanted to get his marriage of the daughter performed, so had approached Lord Brahma with a plea that you help me find a good husband. So this was at the beginning of Satyayuga. So when Maharaj Revat entered into Brahmaji's palace along with Revati, he was asked to wait, because at that time Brahmaji was listening to a singing performance which was being performed by the two great Gandharvas, Ha Ha and Hu Hu. So then these two Gandharvas were singing and Brahmaji was busy listening to this song. And when they ended their song, so then Brahmaji turned to Maharaj Revat and said, okay, what is the purpose of your visit? And he said that I want to find a good husband for my daughter and I have some people in my mind. And Brahmaji said, the time you waited for the song to end, Satyug, Treta Yug has already finished and Dwapar Yug has started. And definitely the choice list you have, none of those people must be existing now. So you have to search for new man. So then Maharaj Revat said, so how do I get my daughter married? Because I had thought of some nice, good young boys. But now those people are already gone. So then Brahmaji, he took responsibility for whatever had happened. And he said, we can get your daughter married to Balramji. So that is how the eternal consort of Lord Balram, Revati, so she is brought. And then in the marriage ceremony, what happens is, because Revati is from Satyuga, she is at least 10 feet taller than Balram. Right? So height is one of the very basic considerations in marriage. And you can imagine, say, a few inches difference. But it's very difficult to adjust 10 feet difference. So when Balramji saw this, so both came in front of each other. So Balramji took his plow and put it around her shoulder and dragged her down. And then he adjusted the height. And then the marriage was performed. So it was a transcendental arrangement. So this pastime is there in the 9th canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, of Balramji getting married to Revati and all that. So then if you connect that to this, then it makes perfect sense that if Brahmaji was busily listening to Ha Ha and Hu Hu at that time, so therefore Mother Earth approaching Brahma happened before Balramji. So that means that Brahmaji could not have been there to receive Mother Earth, because he was busy listening to Hu Hu. So therefore, who is this Brahma? This is a different Brahma. And he is like the representative of Brahma for administrative affairs. So even amongst Brahma, there are different categories, that someone can enjoy nice song for a long time and others are more into regular nitty-gritties of administration. And so this Brahmaji is known as the Vairaja Brahma. And that Brahmaji is known as Hiranya Brahma, who stays in Satyaloka. So this is the explanation given by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, which is an interesting angle which I felt. And so therefore, this Brahmaji, he also understands one thing, that when problems go beyond my capacity, then I should delegate. And so he was dealing with Mother Earth's problems, and he was not falsely proud, thinking that I am the first person created in this world, so I can deal with any problem, cope with any problem, solve anyone's problem. He realized, Mother Earth's problem is too difficult for me to handle, so let me take other people into consultation. So therefore, sometimes problems are so difficult that we may not be able to solve them on our own. Including Brahmaji, he finds the need to take shelter of others, like Lord Shiva, like Lord Indra, who from one point of view have come after him. But the most important principle is, a devotee is interested in finding a solution, and not necessarily that he himself should alone handle and tackle the problem and be the sole person responsible for providing the solution. So he delegated the responsibilities, and he thought that Shiva can definitely help in destroying the demons, Lord Indra can help in generating enthusiasm. And so he took all of them and they approached Lord Vishnu at Shvetadvip. And there, they're approaching the Lord. Tatra gatva jagannatha deva deva vrishakapim purusham purusha suktena upatiste samahita. So Brahmaji is approaching. So someone may think, why Brahmaji is going if he is all powerful? So therefore the word is used, jagannatham. Tatra gatva jagannatham. Brahmaji is approaching whom? The Lord of the universe. And Deva Deva, all the demigods are also approaching along with Brahma, because they are approaching their own Lord, Deva Deva. And another word used is Vrishakapim. Vrishakapim means one who diminishes distresses and fulfills desires. Purusham Purusha Suktena. And how did they approach the Supreme Lord? They approached by chanting prayers from the Purusha Sukta. And in this way, they were expressing their petition to the Lord about how Mother Earth is in a suffering condition. So at that time, Lord Vishnu's voice is heard. So Brahmaji goes into a trance, and so it is described, Giram samadhau gagane samiritam nisham yavedhas tridashas uvachah. So, this is a very important verse, and two very important points can be seen from this fact that Vishnu's voice is heard by Brahma. Number one, Brahma could hear that sound of Lord Vishnu because he was perfectly tuned in. So the word used is samadhau. He was in samadhi, in trance. He was perfectly tuned in. So tuning in is very important. Depending on the kind of frequency we develop, we will catch a certain kind of vibration. Vibrations are there all over the cosmos. Mundane vibrations, spiritual vibrations. So when you have a television set, then depending on the kind of channel you tune in, you will get a certain image, a certain form. It all depends on which channel you press. So that all is pre-adjusted, but depends on how you tune in. That is most important. Similarly, in spiritual transcendental vibrations also, Krishna and Krishna's message is there in this ether. The transcendental sound vibrations are existing all over. But when we tune in, then we start catching. Just like in radio, you change the knob a little bit. You may be hearing bhajan one moment, And if that knob goes little ahead, immediately you will start hearing cricket commentary. Right? So it's very important how you tune in. Just like one time during our festival program, I was just taking a round about to arrange for prasadam. And I was down near the Bhaktivedanta hall, and there was one devotee sitting outside, and he was having our, you know, they give this FM radios, and he had this in his ears, and he was, you know, a complete trance. So I was wondering, my God, if lecture is going on, so why he is so much in trance? He's so attached to this lecture or what? So I went near him and took that earphone. And in one shot, without his realizing, I took it. And I could hear them, jing, 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 jing. And then immediately a voice came, this is Radio Mirchi. And then I looked at that man, immediately took that piece from me and went off. And then I found out that you just change the knob a little bit. You may be hearing Bhagavatam class from the temple. But you change knob a little bit and then you tune into something else. It is just a very minor difference. All you have to do is change the tuning a little bit. So right now you are sitting here and you are hearing, you are tuning in to Srimad Bhagavatam. You walk out, go home, tune in some other vibration. Instant. Right? Like when this Atma serial started, so one of the devotees I knew, he used to attend my counseling meetings before. So he saw in the newspaper, you know, Star Plus Morning, so and so time, Atma. And he was not into Krishna consciousness, but he was into horror films. So he thought it is a horror serial. Atma. Some Bhatakti Atma or, you know. So he put it on in the morning. And then he saw Hare Krishna devotee, bald head and everything. And this was more horrifying than what he expected. Then somehow he felt that, okay, what they are saying is all right. And then he started looking for a temple. And then he later met me. And after 6-7 months of attending programs, then he told me this story. That originally I was just looking for tuning into some horror film, but somehow by chance I got into this. So actually, the way you tune in depends on what kind of messages you get. So similarly, here you have Brahmaji. Only he was able to hear the Lord's message because he was samadhav, in trance. So many nonsense vibrations are going on inside our mind right now. So entire lifetime we have to spend just tuning in. So just imagine if the radio knob is so fickle, it keeps moving like this. So our knob inside, that mind is like that radio knob. It is vibrating at high speed. So what is the scope that it will remain fixed at one place? So we have to keep chanting Hare Krishna throughout our whole life, just to keep that knob tuned in to transcendental spiritual vibrations. The second important point in this is that even Brahmaji could not see the form of the Lord at that time. Jai Shri Radha Gopinath Ji ki, Thai Gaur Chandra ki. So we can imagine that if someone has to see Lord Vishnu's form, even for Brahma, it is difficult. So when Krishna actually appears within this material world, it is simply his causeless mercy. So therefore, Krishna's form, which is manifested to the conditioned souls, is an act of his causeless mercy, and we should appreciate that mercy of the Lord. Otherwise, even at this stage, Brahma is not able to see that form. So this is the very important principle of Brahmaji's hearing the message from Lord Vishnu. So what is that message which Lord Vishnu speaks? So Lord Vishnu is expressing to Lord Brahmaji, may all the demigods They take birth within this planet Earth in the different families of Yadu dynasty, and all of the different wives of the demigods should also take birth, and they should manifest in these different families. And then the Supreme Lord in the form of Baldev, that is Sankarshan, he will appear along with the Maya potency. And when all of these personalities appear, then they will make preparations for my descent. And so the word used here is Vishnor Maya Bhagavati. So Vishnor Maya, that means this Maya Devi, this potency is an energy of the Lord. And Lord Krishna is using these energies to make his appearance possible, to assist him in his pastimes of appearance. So basically Prabhupada says, there are two kinds of mayas, because this Maya Devi, Yoga Maya, is one of the nine potencies of Lord. So Lord Krishna has nine potencies, and out of this, beginning with Vimala and all these other potencies, this potency of Lord is the Yoga Maya potency. So Yoga Maya potency charms the devotees, and Mahamaya potency bewilders the atheists or non-devotees. So these potencies are used by the Lord to assist him in his pastimes. So at this stage, having received these instructions from Lord Vishnu that he is going to make a descent, make his appearance, and all of you assist me, Lord Brahmaji returns. And then the scene shifts to Vasudev's marriage with Devaki. So, Shurasen is the chief of the Yadus, and he had made his capital Mathura. And one of his descendants, Vasudev, is getting married to Devaki, who is a sister of Kamsa. So then the marriage is taking place. After the marriage, 10,000 elephants, 400 chariots, several hundreds of horses, and thousands of maidservants are following Devaki. And Kamsa himself has taken the reins of the chariot to act as the humble servant. So Kamsa wants to reciprocate with Devaki in affection. And therefore he has taken up these reins in his hand to show his affection. And then all of these different personalities, they are following. And so Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport that even a person who is materialistic has a desire to display affection and love. And so much of dowry is being given. And according to the Vedic system, the father shows affection to the daughter by giving in charity to the daughter what is known as dowry. So it is not something out of force. It is not kind of a legal document. It is not some kind of a business transaction. And nowadays it has become like that. Different rates for different people according to the kind of qualification. Right? Engineer 2 lakh, doctor 5 lakhs, IAS 10 lakhs. So many different rates are being set around, and people are discussing a lot from where this dowry came, why this dowry, it's against proper principles of civilization and culture. But all these descriptions are there in our Vedic Shastras, but the mood and the essence is lost. And since the application is not proper, so this entire dowry business is being misunderstood. So Devaki is proceeding, and suddenly there is an Akashvani. There is a sound from the ether. And it is described that Ayushastvam ashtamo garbho hantvatvam vathase buddha. The sound says, O Kamsa, you are carrying this sister of yours, but you do not know that the eighth son of this woman is going to be your killer. So the word used is Asyastvam ashtamo garbho. So ashtamo garbho means eighth pregnancy. The word used is not putra. The word used is not putri. Because Finally, when Kamsa finds that eighth child is actually a daughter, because Yogamaya is transferred and she appears, and Kamsa is trying to kill her. So therefore, if the word putra had been used, and if a girl was found, then Kamsa would doubt whether this is actually the child of Devaki or not. And therefore the word used is garbha, the eighth pregnancy. And then, who were the people who made this sound? So the demigods, they saw Kamsa's great affection for Devaki. And seeing their mutual affection, the demigods started thinking, if this goody-goody reciprocation continues, and Kamsa becomes too affectionate to Devaki, then Krishna will never appear. So in order to facilitate Krishna's appearance, we have to agitate Kamsa. And therefore the demigods, they created this scene, and they spoke these words to agitate Kamsa. And they were successful. So there were three different types of responses. First, Kamsa became very angry, because naturally he felt that he is going to be killed. Immediately, he forgot all affection for his sister, kept aside the reins, with one hand held Devaki's hair, with the other hand took out his sword, and was ready to slash Devaki's head. He was looking angrily at Devaki, and in one moment, he would have chopped off her head. When Devaki heard this, she was feeling blissful, because she understood that the Supreme Lord Vishnu is going to appear from my womb. And then, the Shadgarbhas, the six children who were going to appear from Devaki's womb, about whom we will discuss in more detail in our next class, they also felt blissful because they realized they are going to be liberated. And they were also amongst the demigods, and they could be hearing this, and they could understand, yes, the time for our liberation has come. And then, Kamsa, he took this stance. And the verse says that, tam jugupsita karmanam nirishamsam nirapatrapam. So Kamsa, who was famous for jugupsita karmanam, the most abominable activities, nirishamsam, very cruel, and nirapatrapam, shameless. Kamsa was a shameless, low-class rascal. And for such people who are addicted to sense gratification, all relationships are centered around selfish interests. And as soon as selfish interests are threatened, the relationship is finished. So at one time, he was offering the most intimate service of being a driver to his sister, and the next moment, he was ready to kill. Therefore, a person with uncontrolled senses cannot be trusted. We cannot trust someone who is a demon. And what is the meaning of demon? One who is not a devotee of Krishna is a demon. Vishnu bhakta smritir deva asurastat viparyaya. This is the categorical definition in the Shastra. You want to know who is a devotee? Yes, someone who is worshipping Vishnu. Who is a servant of Vishnu. Who is a demon? One who is not serving Vishnu. And this may appear to be a very, very heavy definition. Because generally, we feel that demon means something horrible, someone looking horrible, someone who has very extreme kind of behavior. But Srila Prabhupada said, one of the purposes of our Krishna consciousness movement is to polarize devotees and demons. To polarize, it's like a magnet. As soon as you bring Hare Krishna, so many people walking on the street, so many people moving in the train, so many people going on the platform or the bus or anywhere. Right? So you just raise your hand and chant Hare Krishna. Start chanting Hare Krishna. And immediately you will find 2-3 people going backward, moving behind, right? And some other people come forward and ask you, oh, you are from ISKCON? You are from Hare Krishna. Where is your temple? You will not have any neutral reaction. Either people will be attracted or repelled. And this is very, very obvious. Therefore, Kamsa was a demon because he was not a devotee of Krishna. He was concerned with his own interests. And as soon as he found that his interests are threatened, he was ready to kill. And now it is described that at this state, what is the reaction of Vasudev? Tam jugupsita karmanam nrishamsam nirapatrapam Vasudeva mahabhaga uvacha iti santvayam. So Vasudev is described as Mahabhaga, a great soul. And what did he do? He tried to pacify Kamsa with sweet words. So what Vasudev did was two things. Number one, he pacified Kamsa and forgave Kamsa. This is the definition of a great soul. A great soul is able to pacify the most cruel-hearted man. And suppose he is not able to pacify and this cruel-hearted person actually performs atrocious acts, he has the power to forgive also. The power to pacify and the power to forgive. And therefore Vasudev is described here as Mahabhaga. And therefore such great souls can interact with the most abominable demoniac people in this world and still not be affected. So Vasudev is pacifying Kamsa. And this is lesson for us as to how, as devotees, we can deal with non-devotees. Right? So non-devotees who are not worshipping Krishna, they have uncontrolled senses and their actions are unpredictable. How to deal with them? And we are meeting them all over, every day, in every situation. So first of all, Vasudev is following certain principles of what is known as political diplomacy. So Vasudev is dealing with Kamsa. And therefore Kamsa is not yet ready for a Bhagavat lecture. Right? Kamsa is not ready to hear some philosophy straight. So the steps which Vasudev follows is very interesting. So when you meet people who are exactly Kamsa-like in their attitude, selfish, demoniac, interested in their own sense gratification, and willing to be ruthless with anyone and everyone, including near and dear ones, for their own selfish interests, then first principle is sometimes you have to be diplomatic. Diplomacy. Shlaganiya guna shurair bhavan bhoja yashaskara sakatham bhagnim hanyat striyam udvaha parvani. So Vasudev is saying shlaganiya guna shurair. So he is using diplomacy. So political diplomacy has four principles. Right. So now we are teaching politics. So you may wonder, my God, what is going on? I came here to forget politics. I came here because I am fed up with office politics, with family politics, with society politics, building politics, so many politics. And here, you are discussing Vasudev as Mahabhaga, and the first thing he is dealing with is politics. So therefore, we should know that there is a place for everything in Krishna's service. So therefore, why we are doing this is to know that when it comes to serving Krishna's interests, we can use anything in Krishna's service. Money can be used, position can be used, different techniques can be used, and even politics can be used. And this is the perfection of politics. That it is used, diplomacy is used to protect Krishna's interest. So therefore, We are not against technology. Technology can be used. In fact, the Pandavas were staying in the palace of Khandavaprastha. After the Khandavaprastha was finished, that forest was finished, then they were staying in Indraprastha. And the latest technology was being used by Mayadhanav, and the Pandavas were staying there. And why? Because Krishna would constantly come there. Therefore, devotees are not averse to anything. We should be open for anything if it helps in serving Krishna. So therefore now, the first principle is Sama. Sama means pacification. Two things. Sama consists of two things. One is glorification of qualities, and second is establishing relationship. So the first thing, Vasudeva is saying, Shlaghaniya Guna. Oh my dear Kamsa, you are full of divine qualities. Now just now we have criticized 5 minutes back, Kamsa left and right. That he's a demon, he's like this, he's like that. But Vasudeva is saying exactly opposite. You are filled with divine qualities. And your qualities are shlaghaniya, worthy of great praise. Right? Gunah shurair, and you are a great hero. So this is known as glorification of qualities. This is the beginning of classic political diplomacy. Right? So in Bhagavatam we learn everything. So even in when outside world you deal with people, so you should be able to analyze their statements and break them into different parts. When you know that they want something to be done out of you and they speak this language, you should know, okay, sentence one was Sama, sentence two was Bheda, sentence three was Dana, sentence four is Dhamma. Okay. This man is into Sama, Dana, Dhamma, he's a politician. He is talking political language to get things done out of me. So you learn very fast because it is analyzed by the great acharyas. But what Vasudeva is doing is, he's doing this because he's forced to in Krishna's service. So sometimes we may find ourselves getting trapped in this. And then you start thinking, why am I speaking like this to this devotee? Is it for Krishna's interest or for me? What I am doing is Sama. It is not exactly Vaishnava Stuti. So we may say, what is wrong with glorifying? Because we are saying we should always glorify Vaishnavas. We should always glorify Krishna. But the motive with which we glorify, that makes the difference between Vaishnava and diplomat. So if we have vested interests in speaking what we are speaking, so we are not exactly being Vaishnava-like. And therefore, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, the first principle for Vaishnava is Saralata. Simplicity means no duplicity and no diplomacy. But when it comes to Krishna's interests, so now he is saying, you are so great, Kamsa, such divine qualities, the whole world should learn. Right? Shlaghaniya guna shurair bhavan bhoja yashaskara. Another example of Sama. That means now relationship. Right? So many times when you inadvertently we keep doing it, we try to establish relationship of the person with something great, or relationship with of that person with us or something. You know, typically when you go to distribute books or something, you meet some person and he says that, you know, I am from this TCS company. He said, oh, I was also working in TCS. You know, my friend here also, my guru was in TCS, or my so-and-so friend was in TCS, and your chairman comes to our temple, this, that. So what you're doing is, you are establishing relationship, which is political diplomacy. So through that, you are actually trying to establish relationship with that person in such a way that he becomes favorable. So if you are doing strictly for Krishna's service, it is fine. So then, sakatham bhaginim hanyam. And now, he is sowing some seeds of fear and doubt. Bhaginim hanyam. You are such a glorious person, filled with divine qualities. How come the thought of killing one's own sister has come in your mind? You are going to kill, that's fine. You are definitely shurair. So shurvir people should kill. But bhaginim? Killing your own sister? Seems little strange. So he's sowing doubt. in his mind. So sowing doubt is called bheda. So that is bheda, sowing seeds of doubt. And then he says, Striyam Udvaha Parvani. And actually your sister is a lady. And actually if you spare the life of ladies, it is very good. So that is asking for a favor. That is known as Dana. So Sama, Bheda, Dana. These are all like typical aspects of political diplomacy. And this has effect on the person opposite. And the same thing was followed by Devaki herself later on in the fourth chapter. When Kamsa took that eighth child, Krishna had already been transferred to Nanda Gokul and Yogamaya had been brought back. So the girl child was crying. Kamsa came screaming inside, caught hold of that girl child, held her by the legs and was about to crash her on the ground, on the rock. And at that time, Devaki, she was crying out to Kamsa. And she said that, Bahavo himsita bhrata shishavah pavakopama Tvaya daiva nisrishtena putrika eka pradiyatam. She's saying, Bahavo himsita bhrata, O Kamsa, you have already killed six of my children. Bahavo himsita, so many children you have killed. So this is the fourth step in political diplomacy called dam. Repression. You make the person feel guilty. I was waiting for you for so long. For 1 hour. And so many things could have happened, you know. So immediately the person feels guilty. Oh my God, why did I do like this? So it is called dam. Dam means repression. So bahavo himsita bhrata. You're a killer. You have already killed my 6 children. So immediately Kamsa goes on the defensive. And then she says, Tvaya daiva nisrishtena. But you are not responsible. Everything happens by destiny. Okay, so relax. So pacify. So Kamsa feels, oh, okay. So this is known as Sama, pacification. So you first repress, then you release, then the person feels okay, much better, and then ask for what exactly you want. Putrika eka pradiyatam. So what I want is one daughter. This one daughter, at least you leave her. You already killed 6 sons. Now what else you want? At least give me this daughter in charity. So this verse is also an example of political diplomatic language spoken by Devaki, a great devotee, to save Krishna's interests. Because she knew this is Yashoda's daughter. And because Devaki is a devotee, she is not concerned with her selfish interests. She could have felt, this girl is not mine. What difference it makes? My own 6 children have been killed. Someone else's child dies. So what? No. Because she is devotee, she is concerned with saving Yashoda's daughter. And so, she made this plea. This is another example. So therefore, Prabhupada writes in this purport that because Devaki was the daughter in a royal family, she was expert in politics. She was also expert in political diplomacy. But although she was an expert politician and diplomat, she was never made the head of state. She was never made the head of state. And at the time when Prabhupada writing these purports, that time India was being ruled by a lady prime minister. And this was Indira Gandhi. And so Prabhupada, he used to tell at that time that right now Indira Gandhi is the most powerful lady in whole of India after Durga Devi, Prabhupada would say. And then Prabhupada differed very much with this. Prabhupada differed a lot on this principle that there may be certain people qualified, but according to Manu Samhita, this is not much recommended. And so these are examples of how even diplomacy is used to protect Krishna's interests. And then one does not just remain at stage of diplomacy. When Vasudeva found that diplomacy is not working, there is no change in Kamsa's heart, so he went to the next stage, that is logic. Now he started using logic. And he said, Mrityum janma vatam vira dehena sahajayate. He said, my dear Kamsa, you are afraid of death, but death is anyway going to come. For one who is born, death is certain. So what is the problem? You cannot avoid death this way or that way. So therefore, be aware that ultimately death is going to come for anyone who is born. So he was trying to use the principle about the certainty of death. And then he said, Adyava abdava jayante. Only the timing is unpredictable. So Akashvani says, 8th son will kill. But who knows, you may die before that also. Or maybe you may go on to stay 100 years. Death is a very unpredictable thing. So that was logic. And then he went beyond logic. And then he came to philosophy. And he explained from the law of karma that you are going to kill her, but because of killing her, you are going to accrue sinful reactions. So death is anyway going to come this way or that way. But if you kill, then in your next life, you will be miserably suffering. And therefore, if you do not kill and simply die, you may enjoy a lot in the next life. So why you are compromising next whole lifetime of enjoyment with this one little mistake? And then he gives so many examples of the caterpillar changing leaves, or a person walking on the street. So while walking, we place one foot down and then we place the next foot forward and then raise the back foot up. Then we place the left foot forward, then take up the right foot. So that's how we walk. So similarly, the soul takes shelter of the next body while leaving the old body, and then goes to the next body. So this is transmigration. So someone may argue, but the foot is being placed on the same floor. That is not changing. So therefore, Vasudeva gives another example of caterpillar changing leaves. The caterpillar goes from one leaf to another leaf. So Kamsa, you are anyway going to keep changing bodies. Why you are compromising enjoyment in future bodies with this one little act? And in this way, he was trying to convince, based on philosophy, of law of karma. And then finally, he again concluded with diplomacy. And then he said that this Devaki is just like your daughter. She's a helpless lady. Esha tavanuja bala kripana putrikopama hantum narhasi kalyanim imam tvam dinavatsalam. So again he is trying to create this feeling that if you become envious and kill, then you will suffer. This is not good for you. So it's creating repression. And putri kopama. And he's trying to create relationship, just like Sama, saying that, see, she's just like a daughter to you. And then he's glorifying, ending again with Sama. Dinavatsala. Glorifying Kamsa as Dinavatsal, one who is very, very dear and very compassionate to the fallen. Most compassionate to the fallen souls. Dina Vatsala. Friend of the distressed. This is like an exaggerated glorification of Kamsa. So he began by saying, you are the most glorious, Gunai Shurair, and ending with Dina Vatsala. So he began diplomatically, ended diplomatically, put in some logic and philosophy in the middle. It was a perfect package. So therefore, many times when you are dealing with demoniac people, you can't directly begin and end with philosophy. So sometimes you have to add and subtract, but don't forget the middle part. That is most important. Right? So the middle part is the one which will make the difference. And Dina Vatsala, Vishwanath Chakra Thakur says, is Vatsa also means calves. Cow and calves. So Dina means poor. So actually, this Kamsa is not glorifying, Vasudeva is not glorifying Kamsa by saying Dina Vatsala. He is criticizing Kamsa that you are so cruel that you steal the calves of the most poor people and don't give it back to them. Dina Vatsala. So he is actually criticizing, he is not glorifying. So therefore, here we can see that how Vasudeva is trying his best to protect the interests of Krishna. And then he sees that his attempts are failing. Vasudeva can see that there is still no reaction on Kamsa's face. Kamsa is as hard-hearted as ever. And at this stage, Vasudeva immediately starts thinking. So sometimes we may try to deal in a certain way and our attempts may fail. But then we should not give up and continue on. And now Vasudeva is going through a great crisis. So Devaki represents bhakti. So Vasudeva has tried everything within his means to protect the bhakti. So all our attempts to protect our bhakti from demoniac influences, from within and without, may sometimes fail. And that may be a cause for great insecurity and fear within our minds. And we may give up. We may give up hope. We may give up faith. But Vasudeva is not giving up. His first attempts have failed. But now he is rethinking. So he is thinking that Kamsa could not be convinced because he is in the association of asuras. But now he is displaying attitude which is most important for someone to get transformed from within. And these are the five very important principles of developing positive attitude for a devotee. The five D's. Nirbandham tasya tam gyatva vichintya no anakadundubhi praptam kalam prati vyodum idam tatranvapadyata. So now the attempt has failed, and when our attempts fail, we become morose and desperate and disappointed. But what is the reaction of Vasudeva? He is being described as anakadundubhi. Vichintya anakadundubhi. He started thinking. So therefore a devotee should never give up his thinking process of introspection. So the first principle is anakadundubhi means Vasudeva is remembering that at the time of my birth there were conch shells and bugles and demigods' flowers being thrown. Therefore his name is Anakadundubhi, whose birth is auspicious. Similarly, a devotee should know that his presence in Krishna consciousness is in the midst of so many nice auspicious transcendental factors. There are devotees, there is Krishna, there is sound vibration, there are books. We are surrounded by auspiciousness. We came to Krishna consciousness being dragged in by various auspicious devotional forces. And therefore, we should have confidence in the power of that auspiciousness. So that is the first principle, determination. Determination. One should be determined in one's efforts and not be deterred by temporary failures. Then Vasudeva, he was determined that yes, at any cost I am going to save Devaki. I am not going to give up like this. Just imagine you are trying to speak to someone and there is absolutely no reaction, no change. So we may become very morose. So similarly, our demoniac mind like Kamsa sometimes takes the sword in the hand and becomes ready to kill our newborn Krishna consciousness, our bhakti. Whatever faith we have in bhakti, Kamsa like demoniac mind is willing to slash and slaughter at every moment. And we are trying to protect and save And many times our attempts become feeble and nothing happens, that our mind does not change either way. And we feel, oh my God, this fellow is not putting down the sword, still harassing. Forget it, give up. Maybe Krishna wants me to be in Maya. So I surrender. Because after all, I have to surrender some way. No, one has to continue attempting. So determination is most important. And then the second principle comes, and that is decisiveness. We should not just remain morose and be in some kind of a complex, but be decisive, do something about the crisis. Don't just sit and watch the fun. Mrityur buddhimata pohyo yavat buddhi balo dayat. So all of us have been given intelligence. Buddhi balo dayat. Use the power of one's intelligence to discriminate, to be decisive, to take some decision. Yes, how I am going to convince the Kansa-like mind to put down its sword and save my bhakti, save my devotional service. I have to show that decisiveness. This is the second principle. So therefore, Prabhupada writes in the purport that Vedic culture is totally dedicated to the principle of somehow avoiding death at any cost. So if we are facing spiritual death, then how desperate we should be to protect ourselves. And sometimes the situation appears hopeless and helpless. But then, even we start thinking, what is the use of planning so much? I tried everything, everything has failed. Okay, I am determined, I am decisive, but so what? I have tried various things before, 99 steps have failed. 100 step, will it work? So then, the third principle comes, and that is, destiny. Our moroseness and disappointment comes because we think, I am the doer. I am in control. And because I am in control, when there is failure, I think I have failed. And therefore people are paranoid of failure, material or spiritual. And therefore sometimes one even gives up the attempt of trying to convince, because Vasudeva could have felt, what is the use trying to convince this Kamsa? I'm not able to. Forget it. I'm a failure. Because if I try 100 more attempts and it fails, it will give more disappointment. Better give up now. No. One must have faith in destiny. That means one must be willing to take risks and know that ultimately anything can happen. And therefore, this is the third principle, that Vasudeva is thinking, okay, maybe Kamsa, he may die before my son is born, or I may not get a son at all, or maybe my son may be born and he may kill Kamsa, anything can happen. Let me not think too deeply about this. Destiny is there. All I have to do is make my attempt. Like that. You know? So therefore we should know that if Krishna wants to protect you, he can do anything. Like our Shruti Dharma Prabhu was giving example. There was one devotee called Bhakta Anthony, and he was very much addicted to fishing before coming to Krishna consciousness. Then he became a devotee, spent some time with devotees, but then due to certain things which happened with him in devotee circles, he started feeling morose. And he was feeling, what is the use? I am not even able to do fishing nowadays. So let me give up these devotees. So he left the temple and went again back to fishing. So he went back to fishing and he was fishing in the middle of the river. And then he had his fishing line and something came in his line, brought it up. And it was a plastic packet. He opened it and it was Bhagavad Gita as it is. Right. And it was one of the copies of Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as it is. And he thought, I'm trying to forget Krishna. I'm in the middle of this river doing fishing and still Krishna is not leaving me. Let me go back. He was inspired to come back. So Shruti Dharma Prabhu was saying that in Krishna consciousness, if you have come to ISKCON or Hare Krishna movement, it's like joining the mafia. You can't leave. because you know too much. Once you join, Krishna will somehow or the other make arrangements to bring you back. Therefore, you should not give that task to Krishna, saying that, okay, fine, if Krishna is anyway going to bring me back, Hare Krishna, let me take a tour and come back. And anyway, he'll take care in future. And anyway, they said that you can always practice in future lives. Neha bikrama nashosti. So I'm satisfied. And it is said devotee should be satisfied. So I'm satisfied with my 2 years of bhakti. And now I will continue next life. But in spite of the fact that things were totally at odds against Vasudev, he was trying, he was determined, he was decisive, and he had faith in destiny. If I try, something may definitely happen. And then the fourth step, that although there was this Akashvani, right? So now Vasudev could have thought, anyway it is destined that Devaki is going to be the cause of giving this child, and he will try to kill Kamsa, and therefore what to do? Too bad. It's bad luck for Devaki. I can't do anything because it is in her destiny. So what is the use of my trying? These demigods should have told me in my ear that such a thing is going to happen. They have declared openly, now Kamsa is going to be against her anyway, so who can stop him? So one can become fatalistic. One can give up all hope and say, okay, I tried my best, forget it. Now destiny will take care. So there is another danger. So just because we say destiny, doesn't mean we stop everything and just go to sleep. When it is destined, I will get up in the morning. You know, it is 6 o'clock, I didn't get up, it's not my destiny. 7 o'clock, not my destiny. When it is destined, I will get up. So if we start having our morning sadhana like this, then we are finished. So then it will be destined that we will leave after some time. So then, diligence means hard work. Evam vimrishyatam papam yavat atmani darshanam. Evam vimrishyatam papam yavat atmani darshanam. Yavat atmani darshanam is important. In spite of the fact that all doors were blocked, all doors were closed, still, Vasudev was still using his intelligence further to seek out newer ideas as much as possible with his intelligence. Is there anything more I can say? Is there anything more ideas I can provide? Some other words I can speak to convince this Kamsa. So sometimes we try for some time and we lose hope. And we just leave it to destiny. No. Diligence, hard work. Convincing the mind is not easy. Convincing the mind to give up its sword is not easy. So we have to be diligent. And that is most important. And Srila Prabhupada demonstrated so many times that devotee must be working hard, and he cannot just leave things to Krishna saying Krishna will take care. One has to show one's attempt. Like Bhavanand Prabhu was describing that some devotees in Vrindavan, they got into a mood for doing chaturmas. And Prabhupada was not so much in favor of all this chaturmas, sitting at one place and, you know, just doing bhajan and growing beard. Prabhupada wanted them to preach. So Bhavanand Prabhu explains, he had grown a big beard. And Prabhupada looked at his beard and commented to him, "You are looking like King George the V." And he felt very good. He took it as a compliment that it's good. And the next day again Prabhupada saw him. And next day Prabhupada said, "Today you are looking like Ramakrishna Paramahams." And he didn't like this one, because Prabhupada is to criticize. And then he started really wondering. He went to Prabhupada and said, "I mean, King George I like, but this I don't like." So Prabhupada said, "Don't just spend your time doing this chaturmas, go and preach. We are in the preaching mission. You have to fight against the forces of Maya. And that is most important. Devotee has to be diligent." So diligence with respect to controlling our mind is very important. And then the last is diplomacy. Again, prasanna vadanam bhojo
nrishansam nirapatrapam manasaduyamanena vihasan idam abravit.
So sometimes we may find that situation is difficult, but we may have to become little duplicitous in order to overcome that particular obstacle. And so it is described here, prasannavadanam bhojo. Prasannavadanam bhojo means that Vasudev had a very smiling face, but from within, manasa duyamanena, he was experiencing great distress.
So Bhakti Tirth Maharaja has a very wonderful principle.
What he calls as acting enthusiastic. So what we are doing is also right now acting, but we are acting as we are enjoyer, we are the center. So similarly, we may not be at a certain platform of enthusiasm and confidence, but if we act confident, if we act enthusiastic, if we act out as devotees should do, then gradually those feelings also start developing over a period of time of being in devotee association. And now we find that in the case of Vasudev, he is right in front of Kamsa and he has to convince him. So many times we are faced externally with these challenges, that some people are not able to understand what we are saying. And so in order to convince them, we may have to show some kind of duplicity to some extent, to try to convince them to a certain degree. Like Prabhupada was at his Vyas Puja and devotees were offering obeisances. So one man got up and he objected. He said, "Swamiji, I don't like so many people, they are offering obeisances to you. Why? Why they are offering obeisances to you?" So Prabhupada said, "All my disciples are thinking the same way, that why you are not offering obeisances to me? So how many people are offering obeisances? See, so the number of people offering obeisances is more, and this is India where there is democracy, so majority wins. So you also offer obeisances. You just follow in their footsteps and offer your obeisances." And this man actually came, offered obeisances, and he became very much favorable to Srila Prabhupada. So Prabhupada would many times tackle people in various ways, sometimes chastising them, repressing them, sometimes glorifying them, sometimes being lenient with them. And therefore, in different situations, we have to figure out what is the best way to deal with. So here, it is described that prasanna vadanam bhojo nrishansam nirapatrapam. He is dealing with Kamsa and he is in great anxiety from within. But then externally he is smiling. And so this is also part of a devotee's lifestyle, that we have a great responsibility and we cannot allow external situations to make us morose. And sometimes even if we are morose from within, but as part of our service, we should try to remain blissful in order to help others take to Krishna consciousness. And then there are so many examples. Prabhupada writes in the purport that generally a devotee is straightforward, but sometimes the nature of material world is you are dealing with so many people who are duplicitous. You also have to become duplicitous. And therefore, Prabhupada has shown by his example that when it comes to protecting ISKCON's interest, the interest of the mission of Srila Prabhupada, sometimes we have to act in ways which may not be exactly straightforward. So these are the five different ways in which we can see that we can convince from within and without the different challenges which take place, being determined, being decisive, having faith and hope in the destiny, being diligent and being diplomatic. And then we will go on to the next phase of what happens
as a result of this pacification of Vasudev, does Kamsa get convinced or not? And then how Krishna actually manifests into the womb of Devaki from Kamsa's mind? That will be the topic for discussion next week. Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada ki.